Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And, I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Who wants it? Hey, it's The Drive. Good morning with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise running the board. I can't see you.
You've shrunk.
I have shrunk. I didn't get a chair that lifts, so I'm going to have to do that at the first segment.
It's all right. I can see your forehead.
Yeah, actually, which is weird, from this spot, I can see you guys better than normal.
Hmm.
That doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense to me, only because it's me. All right, it is Monday. We're off and running another week. Cardinals are in Toronto starting tomorrow and Wednesday without Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt, who are unvaccinated, so they will not be making the trip to Canada. So really, Pipes, the two guys in your lineup that can hit will not be with you, and so I expect the Cardinals to win both.
Is that a problem?
No.
Apparently not. They're going to win both.
Yep. Somehow Juan Yepes and Andrew Kisner and everybody else.
That was the second guy you listed?
Yeah. That's
oh,
it, man. Just for you.
Things are bleak.
Just for you, of course.
The Blue Jays, by the way, have won six in a row. So.
Well, it's perfect. They're due. They're due to lose.
You need to hurry up this Juan Soto trade before Tuesday.
Like in a hurry. Like, can we do this today? So I came off, Pipes and I came off the complete different weekends. You have been to Peach Jam in Augusta, South Carolina, not Augusta, Georgia, which Trevor and I both thought you were. We were all bragging about how you're pulling up with your master's, press release or press pass saying, hey, I went on this course.
Well, my hotel was actually in Augusta, Georgia. The games are across the bridge in North Augusta, South Carolina. Most people stay in Augusta. More hotel options. I did not get close to the golf course. They didn't want me anywhere near there.
So is there an Augusta, South Carolina, or is it just more of a north?
It's North Augusta, South Carolina is the town's name.
Okay. I was going to say that'd be kind of freaky to have two Augustas right next to each other. And I wonder if that's ever happened. That'd be kind of cool, actually. It'd mess up the post office, so we better not do that. So you were at Peach Jam, which we're going to talk about in a minute. You had to drive 12 and a half hours. That is a long drive, Pipes.
It was tough, especially on the heels of... I've been down there 7 or 8 years, and this is the first time where I've stayed. I'm sure it's not the first time I've stayed with another AAU team in the hotel, but this is, you also, in addition to Peach Jam, you have like the 7th and 8th grade teams down there and like a national tournament. So whether they were 7th or 8th graders, they were on the same floor as my hotel.
Like hell.
And they had these toy guns.
Oh, boy.
That... They chased each other and played real-life Call of Duty until like 1 a.m. in the hotel, and those at the undisclosed hotel did not care. The cops showed up at one point, but only because they were running around the parking lot shooting said guns, and that was not okay, but then you just move the crowd inside. And so you have that, and then the next morning you got 12 and a half hours back. So I'm tired today, but we're going to get through
Yes, I would have been yelling that up and down the hallways. Do you know what you just witnessed, Trevor? You just witnessed Derek Piper take his first step into middle age. He just did it. You know what's happened, Derek? The last 7 years, that same thing has happened, but you haven't noticed it because you were so young or you were out drinking a beer.
Potentially. That was actually the better move was like you're sitting there. I was sitting there writing on Saturday night. The games get done about 7 or 8, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my writing done before I go get something to eat and have a couple of beers. And I'm like, man, I'm really tired. Maybe I'll just order a pizza and stay in the hotel. Oh. And then those guys start going, I'm like, there is no way in the world that I can stay here. I got to get out and yes. stay out as long as possible.
Yes.
What's funny is I am entering that middle age, but I wasn't the guy the night before when I get home from eating and having a beer or two. Someone in their boxers exited their room to yell at these guys and tell them that people are trying to sleep. That Ooh. Was not me.
That was old
it
man.
Could have been me.
That would have been Locke.
That's you in 10 years.
Yeah, yes. That was me in 10 years.
That would have been me now saying, enough.
Now, he wasn't met with the best of receptions, and nor did the things that he wanted to transpire after that. So it was a failed attempt, but I kind of appreciated it, but the effort was for
that not. That is great. We just got a text in. There's a Bristol, Tennessee. Of course, that's where the race is, and there's a Bristol, Virginia. Is that what it said? I don't have it pulled up. I saw it pop on the so they're back-to-back. That's kind of cool. I did not realize that. All right, so we're going to talk about Peach Jam because you had, as you just recalled or recounted there or spoke about, just kind of a crazy weekend. I, on the other hand, did nothing all weekend. I literally did nothing.
You were fine.
Most peaceful weekend I've ever had, and then Monday hit. And it's been crazy ever since. So here we go. We're off and running on a Monday. So we talked about the Cardinals. Brett Bielema spoke today, Coach B, which was really odd to me because in the next 2 days, they're going to have media days in Indianapolis. And Coach B, of course, will speak on Wednesday morning at media days. You'll be able to hear that. Tomorrow, Kevin Warren, the commissioner, speaks. Now, I know how a lot of us as Illinois fans aren't big fans of Kevin Warren. But certainly he is, this time at least, someone that we want to hear from because of the addition of USC and UCLA. So it'll be interesting to hear from him tomorrow and all of that and other things. I know Trevor and I spoke a little bit today about Scott Frost, who's on a major hot seat right now going into this season. So he speaks tomorrow as well, and we'll hear maybe from
Scott Frost!
Yeah, that guy. And maybe Tom Allen, as Illinois will play Indiana week two. So we will try to get all of that for you tomorrow. And, of course, Coach B on Wednesday. Lindy brought up Bloomington, Illinois, and Bloomington, Indiana. But they're not, like, right next to each other. That's what I meant. It'd be like Augusta and North Augusta, obviously, right next to each other.
I think Scott brings up a good point. Kansas City. Because you have Kansas City, Kansas City, Missouri.
Boom.
That's a good example as
it
well.
It should be illegal to name a town in another state as blank city of not that state.
You know, I've thought that,
like,
too.
Why is there a Michigan City in Indiana?
That's a great point.
That should be
point.
Illegal.
Is there anything in Illinois that's another state? That's a great point. I've thought of that before with Kansas City. I'm like, that should not be legal.
If you have a Texas, Illinois, like in the middle of Illinois, I don't think it's that weird.
Right.
I mean, it's odd, but I'm talking about, like, Michigan City is on the border
yes.
of Michigan, but it's in Indiana. Same thing with Kansas City.
I don't. Oh, yeah. Somebody brought up Oregon, Illinois. There you go. Oregon. I think that's northwest, I
but
believe.
But it doesn't border Oregon. That's right. What makes that weird, right?
That's right. Well,
Oregon,
Lindy,
Illinois,
sorry.
That's just the finalists of a handful of recruiting targets back circa
Absolutely.
John Gross. Never seem to win those, unfortunately.
No. There is a Virginia, Illinois as well. All right, so we're, look at this. We're doing well on our Urbana, Ohio. Okay, Diane threw that in. That's interesting. There's probably way too many now, and it's going to be just cruising in now on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line.
Can I pivot real quick to
yes,
Scott Frost?
Do.
You know how we joked about Randy Etzel? I think that was who it was at
yes.
UConn and all the incentives in his contract. Like, if you score first, you get $1,000. If you're up at halftime, $10,000. It's probably the inverse for Scott Frost. There's there's this long list of, if this happens this season, you're getting fired. One of them at the top of the list has to be, if you lose to Illinois again,
oh my.
You're getting fired.
What has, have we beaten them two in a row?
Yes.
Two in a row. And I think, are we 2-2 against him? I know Illinois in his time frame at Nebraska, I believe Illinois has two more wins than Nebraska. And of course, Lovey was the coach and got fired. And yet Scott just kind of holds on to his job, but certainly that's only going to last this year if he doesn't turn it around. Can he? Can Nebraska turn it around?
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see.
It's towards that time where you need to start buying the college football preview magazines
yes.
and starting to dive in. And Big Ten Media Days this week. So
I'm
we're going
to
hear from some of these coaches. I honestly haven't taking a big look at what Nebraska's going to bring back or what they did to upgrade their roster. But they're always a team that has talent. It hasn't been the same level that we've become accustomed to, but this is a win now year for them, especially. And they can't afford to have Chase Brown go for $150 again and lose to the Illini.
Yeah.
Nebraska opens week zero against Northwestern in Ireland.
Oh,
the 2 week zero college football games are Wyoming, Illinois, and Northwestern, Nebraska in Ireland.
They took our Ireland.
They did. Instead, you got a week zero home game against Wyoming.
Wyoming.
I would say you made out fairly well in that.
Yes.
In that, in my opinion, at least.
Unless you were wanting to see Ireland.
Right. I just meant like as a team traveling over there.
No, I totally agree.
And, you know.
Why did Illinois get another week zero game? This is second year in a row, right? And last year you got it because the game was supposed to be in Ireland and canceled. So why did they get another one this year?
I know that Josh Whitman was asked about this at one of his tailgate tours last month. Mm. And the way that he framed it, I think Illinois volunteered for this. I think they want as many standalone, focus on us when you don't get that in a normal college football Saturday.
Right.
So it's like, who around the Big Ten wants to play in week zero? I think Illinois is like, we'll take it. We'll take a chance to be one of the few games to pay attention to. So I think that that's part of it.
That makes sense. I'm surprised more teams wouldn't do that, wouldn't want to do that. Now, does Illinois get to practice earlier than some teams? I think there's only three teams, right, that are practicing. Well, yeah, it makes sense now. It'd be Nebraska, Northwestern,
and Illinois.
Your
timeline has moved up a week.
Okay, so they all practice start this week.
And Brett moved that game to Thursday night. Well, I say Brett, but I mean, they moved that game to Thursday night so that they had like a week and a half before Wisconsin instead of a week.
Ah, gotcha.
So he does seem like he's trying to, I don't know, not game the system necessarily, but try to get as many national games, as many breaks as he can. Because week zero gives you another bye week then, too.
So that Tennessee-Chattanooga game then, you're saying, got moved to a Thursday so that then Illinois would have extra preparation for Wisconsin. Okay. Well, I like that. And Wisconsin's here this year. So we know what happened the last time Wisconsin came to town. Oh, they're not?
You don't remember last year when it was, I think, 20-0 on homecoming?
Never mind.
And you didn't get a first
down. The whole
down
COVID year screwed me up because I was thinking that – gosh, that's how weird it's been. Like, I thought the game that their quarterback had the game of his life, I thought that was like last year, but that was actually 2 years ago. That's crazy. All right, so I deserve that. I deserve to miss one there. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty fired up about media days. And, you know, to me, it tells me that college football's getting close. Now, of course, if you're a person in school, that means that school's coming up, and you don't like that, obviously. I think now that obviously once you enter the work world, and I'd have to ask a teacher this because they obviously get summers off. I know a lot of teachers will dive into other jobs maybe during the summer and do little things, you know, maybe paint, whatever. But I don't think, Trevor, I don't think I would want in the middle of my work year to just have 2 months off and then go back. I just don't think I would like that. I'd rather just continue to work all year. Would you guys? Are you just going to laugh or just not?
Well, what are we talking about?
A block of 2 months off sounds nice.
It does. Maybe we just need to
now
take
you
a break.
You would have just gone to Florida for 6 weeks.
Well, hell yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's take a break. I'm bringing up stuff now that doesn't make any sense. It is The Drive.
There is one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries, open 6 days a week.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts.
You know, I think one of the things that people forget to think about in the summertime, the heat of the summer, is watering.
Also, on our annual plants, in our containers and hanging baskets, water is super important, and we should check that in the morning, especially. That way, they can go into the day being hydrated.
And not just the annuals we planted this spring, but any of those trees and shrubs that we've just planted, they can just go wilty.
Come to Prairie Gardens, Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
If you're looking for a wedding or special event venue, consider Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant brand new at the Atkins Golf Club that has plenty of terrific space for that special day with incredible photo opportunities on and around the golf course. They can take care of plenty of your wedding guests or guests for your special event. Go to eatathomegrown.com to get more information about a space that has current availabilities. It's eatathomegrown.com at the Atkins Golf Club at the University of Illinois.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Busey Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways Banking options at Busey are designed with your goals in mind. Busey Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Busey, your partner in building business and growing wealth since 1868. Member FDIC.
The wait is over. After 2 years off, Neighborhood Nights is back at Urbana Park District. Join us from 6:30 to 8 every Wednesday night in June and July at a different district park. Enjoy a great concert by talented musicians for free. Just bring a lawn chair or even a picnic dinner and spend a nice evening in one of our parks with friends and neighbors. For more details, like our weekly artists and where they're performing, follow us on Facebook or on the web at urbanaparks.org or contact Janet at 217-367-1544. Urbana Park District, you belong. Along here.
Hey, this is Ben Grice at the Humble Hog in downtown Paxton. And if you haven't been up to Paxton for our barbecue yet, let me tell you, you don't need a reservation. Just come on up. Barbecue with us is about as casual can get. We've got all your favorites. We're talking brisket, pork, amazing smoked turkey, our sausage. And while you're there, be sure to try the Paxton Punch. You can thank me on that later. Check us out online at humblehogbbq.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
College basketball, baby. Rearview mirror right now. We got football ahead of us, but we're going to talk some college basketball. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. You came in, told me some info today that I did not know about Bill Self and Kansas. I guess Kansas trying to get ahead of things with regards to the issues with the FBI and all of that, interrogation, etc. Investigation. It is amazing to me that yet still Kansas has not suffered any consequence from anything that happened there, unless I'm forgetting something. And now all of a sudden they have kind of put a little bit in saying, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to police ourselves. They're turning into hockey now. They're going to police themselves in hopes of avoiding, I guess, long-term issues here. So what exactly is happening now with Kansas? And what are they trying to accomplish here?
So there was a report yesterday from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports that Bill Self and Curtis Townsend were pulled off the road for July. Now, this was not announced by Kansas or Bill Self or anyone from that program. It had to be reported externally by CBS Sports. And there has been no official comment from Kansas, and it's noted in Norlander's article on CBS Sports, which you can check out, that they are not speaking on the matter because it's the NCAA has said in the past that if you publicly talk about an ongoing case, that can play against you and be used for additional penalties or whatnot. So essentially the reports were Bill Self was not at Peach Jam. He's not been on the road in July, and neither has one of his assistants in Curtis Townsend. Now, I saw former Illini assistant Norm Roberts out at Peach Jam, so it's not like Kansas had no representation. They were still able to have two recruits on the road. But anyone that understands this would be, this is a self-imposed move on Kansas's part to try to imaginably lessen their penalty whenever whenever that's ultimately going to come down. Because I think it was 2017, it was the year Brad got hired at Illinois when the FBI case broke and unfolded
and
the penalties were out there and Kansas was involved in that. So it's been 5 years and there's still been no resolution for Kansas. Now, there's been the issue of allegations came in 2019, I believe, and then a response by Kansas. And Kansas is still facing five level one allegations, which
unbelievable.
Is a really big deal. Of course, they're coming on the heels of winning the national title. So is this a big deal that Bill Self's not courtside with 60 other coaches at these games in Peach Jam? In my opinion, no, not really.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, as long as you're not taking away the fact that, are you taking away scholarships? To our knowledge, no. Are you taking away the ability to host official visits?
Nope.
To my knowledge, no. Or even the contact, like, is Bill Self texting these guys after the games, even though at games that he's not at, but he can watch on stream back in his comfortable quarters of Lawrence, or could be anywhere in the country.
I mean, here's how worried Kansas is. They had a midnight madness with stripper poles and throwing money around.
Exactly.
I mean, they were literally throwing that in the face of the NCAA. And with Snoop.
With Snoop. Snoop shows up. They got the stripper poles. They got the money gun.
Yes.
There was a shot of Bill Self wearing an Adidas shirt with a huge chain. Yeah. And Adidas was who got exposed in the FBI case. So it was just kind of like a, here it is, NCAA, we don't trust your power to do anything.
And wow,
it's been an ongoing thing even prior to the FBI situation, that the NCAA does a terrible job at policing their own sports. And we'll see what comes of this. I think based on there being allegations and there's being some real proof in the FBI investigation, Kansas is going to get something. And I know that Norlander in his article cites some sources around the game saying that a substantial suspension for Bill Self is on the table. A possible postseason ban is still on the table for Kansas, but which people would certainly enjoy. And then the counter would be, oh, it's too bad this didn't come a year earlier in a year when Kansas went on to win the national title. So I think they'd be fine. I mean, if they won a national title and it's like Self is suspended half the season and maybe Kansas isn't allowed to go to the tournament this year, they'd be okay with that resolution.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's almost like they're almost picking and choosing when, if they do get dinged with that, they're picking and choosing when they do it. And that's the embarrassment that the NCAA has brought upon itself. Is there anyone that's really been dinged by this thing? Didn't Oklahoma...
Louisville.
That's it.
Patino lost his job.
That's
They had sanctions and a postseason ban, I believe, and lost some scholarships. And that was already in combination with the... I mean, say what it is. It was like a prostitution ring at Louisville where that was involved beforehand. Mm. And then there was Brian Bowen. And the big piece of evidence was they got Christian Dawkins, who there's that HBO documentary. I don't know if you had watched it about the FBI investigation and him being a street agent out there who was brokering these type of deals and setting up agents and everything that was involved in that. So he was directly involved with Bowen, who chose Louisville. So there was the direct line of evidence there for Louisville with a little bit more and Patino having some more in his history that led to his firing. Sean Miller was another team.
Oh, good call.
Or Sean Miller in Arizona, although Sean didn't get fired from this. It was kind of a combination
Mutual.
Of not winning at the level that they expected and then having the baggage. And Oklahoma State was involved with Lamont Evans and Auburn with one of their assistants as well. So
yeah, I mean, you do have three assistants in jail. And I believe they're still in jail, right? Or are they out by now? I would assume they'd be out, but maybe I don't know. I need to look into that further. But you did have three guys go to jail, I think, for that, three assistants. So I understand that that happened. But then the aftermath of all this where you expected, and I certainly did because the FBI was involved, I'm like, well, this isn't some, I mean, you can't run from the FBI, right? So something's going to happen to these schools, and yet the ones that are so obvious.
LSU, which is as obvious as it got.
That's exactly right. And Kansas as well. I mean, and yet there's nothing, right, that has happened to that.
Yeah, I mean, Will Wade was, I know that when it first came out, the strong offer, essentially, mm-hmm. that was on tape, he got a indefinite suspension,
right.
Missed their postseason, and then was back the following year. He didn't lose his job based
on
that.
He lost all the roster, but...
right, the roster ultimately transferred this past offseason because Will Wade finally got fired.
Yes.
And again, that was not because of, or a direct consequence of these sanctions or whatever. Right. It was just he wasn't winning at LSU and he had a bunch of baggage and heat on him. But how much heat has there really been placed from the FBI evidence to then the NCAA has this to go utilize it and punish people, and no one's really gotten that punished.
It's, I mean, interesting.
It's funny. It's been so long with Kansas, I almost forgot exactly the exact details of what right. Kansas did. Now, in a roundabout way, I know they were involved with Adidas, and Adidas was trying to push certain guys to Kansas, and money was involved and everything, and Kansas was, you know, Self was even on some of these calls and some of these text messages that got shown in court. But other than that, like the exact details, it's just been so long that I don't even remember everything that Kansas is accused of.
Right, or even the players or anything. It seemed like it was the big guy for Kansas that was there like 1 year and then...
Sylvia DeSosa,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah, and then didn't Illinois play him last year?
They did, Chattanooga.
Oh, that's right.
Best thing he ever did was like chuck a chair at some Kansas State player.
Oh, that's right.
In the middle of a brawl.
I forgot about the brawl. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, so for all that happened in 17, here's the message to the kids out there. Go on and win a national title in 21. I mean, that's the message, you know, that nothing's going to happen, and then Kansas is going to win a national title, and everything's still free and clear. But now we're going to self-impose this year. Now that we've won a national title, we're going to ding you a little bit. I will say this, when you say they were taken off the road, dramatically it would be really cool if Bill Self and his assistant literally started to leave Lawrence, and the NCAA pulled up and, like, took them out of their car and said, nope, you're off the road. I mean, I think that would be awesome.
Well, see, that's the thing. They're off the road of recruiting. They're not allowed to be in these AAU gyms based on Kansas's own self-imposed deal, which
but
is what
Norm
we're
Roberts
expecting
can
this
be.
Is. Norm Roberts, and there was another assistant, Jeremy Case, that could be on the road as well. So Bill could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
He could have been on a beach. I mean, that's what I would have done.
That's probably what they did. He took a two-week vacation, and they said, we will time that with the idea that we're going to say you're – not able to go to these things and recruit. You go relax, enjoy your national title, and we'll make it look like we're doing something. I mean, it's such a farce.
Yeah, and on the level of self-imposing things, I think taking your head coach off of the AAU circuit at the very end of the summer is probably on the very low end of things that actually matter. Like if you self-impose, oh, we're going to take away two scholarships, or we're going to take away five or seven official visits, or we're going to self-impose a suspension for Bill Self for the start of the first month of the season. There are coaches in that gym would say, please take me as well. Call back to the athletic department. Can we self-impose? We haven't done anything wrong, but we might in the future. Self-impose that I can go home. I've been on the road the last 4 weeks, essentially.
I'm done watching
this. Get me out of this gym. I've seen all these guys.
Yes, I could see that 100%. Daryl asked, where is Adam Miller going to school? Well, he stayed at LSU ultimately, so he's
one of the few that did.
Yeah, so he I knew he went into the portal, but then ultimately decided to stay at LSU. So obviously he should get some big minutes and some chances to kind of show out, if you will, this coming season for him down at LSU.
And one more note on Kansas is there was a stretch for a couple of recruiting classes where they weren't in that same realm of Kansas or Kentucky and Duke, and they weren't recruiting at the traditional Kansas level. And you're like, oh, here's the reminiscences of impending hammer coming down on the Jayhawks. Maybe Bill Self gets fired, and there's a real impact on Kansas basketball. Well, that's gone away.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the number four recruiting class in the country last year in terms of coming in as incoming freshmen this upcoming season. They just won a national title. Nothing really – it's all back to normal for them.
Exactly. Well,
and Arizona. I mean, Arizona. Maybe you thought with Sean Miller leaving that they would take a step back in a weaker Pac-12, and instead, what's his name? The Gonzagas. I don't know his
Tommy
name.
Lloyd.
Tommy Lloyd. Yeah. Instead, he comes in and is like this very brash coach and is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "Thanks for the talent, Sean. This is a very talented roster that I inherited."
And whips Illinois, then misses Illinois in COVID, then gets more talent. And then beats Illinois here last year. And, I mean, now that's Illinois' fault. Don't get me wrong. But if you would have played Arizona the year of COVID when Arizona decided not to come to Champaign, you're probably more than likely beating Arizona that season. So it just, sometimes it seems like it always works out for some teams.
Yeah, because they had a bunch of their really good players, Benedict Mathurin, Kirk Kariza. I think Coloco might have been a junior last year but was a sophomore. So they had a young team the previous year. When they were supposed to come to Champaign, so that would have been the time to get them and play them because you still would have had Io and you would have had your one seed type of team, but it was Illinois actually wanting fans in the stands to make it a worthwhile home and home. I mean, you got to sell out that building to really make it worth it to
that
do
makes
it.
Sense.
You could have played the game, you could have beat them, but what else would you have gotten it from it monetarily where Arizona had a big home game and Illinois was supposed to as well.
And 16,000 watched Alfonso Plummer stand for 6 seconds.
Oh, man.
And create a turnover.
Wow.
That was brutal.
That's funny that I had forgotten about that. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, that was brutal.
Trent went crazy in that game, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough loss.
Heck of a game.
It was. Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so... Now, the place that Bill Self couldn't be was Augusta, South Carolina, for the Peach Jam. So what happened, Derek Piper? You went down there, what, third? We got there Friday, I guess.
I got there Thursday.
Oh, no, you got there Thursday.
I drove halfway on Wednesday, I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's a long time.
And then left Sunday morning. It's a long time.
That's a long drive and a long time. Obviously, you had to have seen more than the one guy, Hansberry, that we're looking at. But let's start with him. Does he just continue to impress you every time you see him?
He has, and he had one of the most productive weeks of anybody on the 17U circuit. And then, again, we're talking about a guy that's ranked in the 130 to 140 range. I think he's going to push into the top 100 just based on how productive he's been. I think the bigger question is, how is his recruitment going to unfold down the stretch now? What has this, exploding onto the scene, so to speak, in July? And he really did it late in the AAU spring, also in May, in terms of offers. We know that Auburn's come in and offered. We know that Oregon, West Virginia are the most recent to offer. Is somebody else going to jump into the mix and try to get him to visit there and really consider them as a destination where it seemed to be narrowed down to Illinois, Penn State at the top? Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech very much involved. Maryland trying, but probably too late. And all this, and Miami also. Miami's another team that he's going to take a visit to actually this upcoming weekend. So would he consider a visit to Auburn? Because we know how much juice Auburn has here recently with their success. And Auburn, I imagine, probably does pretty well in the NIL front as well.
Sure.
So what does that ultimately mean? But Amani didn't play all that great when their team lost in the semifinals of Peach Jam, these guys are playing every single day, and it seemed to maybe fatigue got to them and just didn't have a good game. But prior to that, I know Friday night they went into overtime and he had 21 points, 11 rebounds, so he's just super productive, really tough, plays well inside, he's hitting jumpers at a lot higher rate than I saw him in the spring. He's hitting the mid-range and even making some threes. And one interesting tidbit, because I've also talked about, we get asked for comps and everything and kind of that whole kind of paint a picture type deal. Someone who's been evaluating for a long time said, now he's not as athletic, but he's built just like EJ Liddell is.
Oh, wow.
In terms of his lower body is thick and strong, and just the way that he can physically compete, the way he can hit mid-range jump shots, that's kind of like physically, in terms of that tweener position where he's not – he's probably the height of a four, mm-hmm. but might play more that quote-unquote small ball five type of role. And I love him. I think that Illinois, I mean, I know Illinois wants him more than anybody in 2023. And I think to the bigger point of there's not that many guys
right.
in 23
right.
that Illinois is focused on. I mean, Jazz Gardner was a big man out of California that we talked about throughout the spring. To my knowledge, I don't think Illinois had anybody go watch him play. I think they were out in California.
Okay. Interesting.
It just seems like Illinois is really in on Hansberry. Outside of that, not really all that in on maybe anybody else in 23. Not to say if they don't get Hansberry, they might pivot to somebody else. But they might be okay with, we'll take Hansberry, we'll see if something else develops. But otherwise, we're just going to go to the portal and try to fill our needs. And we still don't know how many spots will be open because outside of Matthew Meyer, nobody else is running out of eligibility after this year.
Okay, that's interesting. So was it Brad Underwood and two assistants, or was it the whole staff there?
There was one day where they had everyone there. And then for the most part, it was Brad, Chester, and Jeff Alexander throughout the weekend. They were three deep, as you'd say, at a lot of games, watching Hansberry, watching the Mean Streets, and a handful of others. You know, they're trying to expand their recruiting board in 2024 and offer some more guys. But again, there's you know Brandon Williams out of New York, who's a power forward that they watched in 23, and there's a couple of other ones, but really there's no one that is moving the needle that much that they are really all in on.
Knowing that Ty Rogers is on this team, and I'm not trying to do a direct comp between him and Hansberry, but knowing that he's on this team, or even maybe looking at it from the other direction of regardless that he's on this team, how much does it hurt or will it hurt if Illinois does not land Hansberry?
I think that with Ty Rogers, they're a little bit different because Ty is going to be able to play essentially. He's probably not going to play a whole lot of two. And look, it's really now the way that they're trending positionless basketball. But
right.
Ty Rogers is going to play three, maybe also at the four spot. Hansberry, in my mind, I think Illinois likes him probably the most as a small ball five.
Okay.
Could also play him at the four. I think that it would be interesting to see what Coleman Hawkins does after this season.
Yes.
Of course, you'd still have Dane Danger. You'd still have Zachary Perrine, who's going to have a year to get his body ready. And then as you go forward, you're going to have Merez Johnson in 2 years.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't think it would kill you if you were to lose out in a battle and with Hansberry. And again, you could go into the portal and say, hey, we need someone else in that front court rotation, and they could find somebody.
Yep.
But I just think that Hansberry, looking at him as a four-year guy, someone that is just super productive. I think he's a winner. He won a high school state championship. I know that's something that Brad really looks into.
They like that.
Guys with winning pedigrees.
Yep.
And he's very unselfish. He's not someone that – he's going to be really good for your locker room. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be a team guy, and there's just a lot to like about that. And it's also the buzzword. He's a dog. Like
he's a dog.
He's really tough and gritty and fits that – fit that style, similar to a Ty Rogers.
Maybe the most important question I've ever asked you on the show.
Oh, boy.
Is he your guy?
Whoa.
No one's letting that go, man. No one is letting that go.
If he's your guy, then...
I think everybody can read between the lines and how I've talked about him and answer that question. But am I going to put my stamp on it and answer with an affirmative yes? No, I'm not going to do that because I know... what that means.
I had to do it, man.
I know what that means. I know how the fans have turned what they've turned it into. And honestly, yeah,
it's a negative.
I've used the term. My guy for.
Is he Derek Piper's guy?
Is he?
Oh! No.
Yes!
I don't do that anymore.
We've got a shot at him.
It's retired. Jordan Poole, EJ Liddell, Jordan Goodwin,
your guy
Bryce
Kentucky,
Hopkins.
That left Kentucky.
I will say Io was kind of my guy.
Yeah.
So I was on that one early. One at least worked out, but no one wants to talk about the win.
You're hitting
everyone
200.
Just wants to talk about the losses. Yeah,
you're literally Andrew Kisner.
Oh,
right,
boy.
Oh, good one, Lon.
Yes! Yes! I'm back to even today. Back to even.
It's great to be back.
To be fair, I mean, Jordan Poole and E.J. Liddell weren't bad,
guys.
Let's be honest. Not for the Illinois context.
Exactly.
But.
And E.J. Liddell should have been our guy. Should have been everybody's
guy. These are really
guy.
Good players. They just didn't go to Illinois.
Yeah, they just didn't ultimately end up at Illinois. I was going to ask you a question that I've now forgotten because I went with a more important question, obviously, about the guy. I'll think of it here in a minute. It was about these tournaments, these AAU tournaments. Who else were you kind of looking at or spotting or did kind of jumped out to you, in other words, in terms of talent, whether that be 23, whether that be 24?
Obviously, I watched a lot of Mean Streets, their 16U team, who I expected to really be in contention for a Peach Jam title because they went to the semis last year, and that was before they added James Brown, who is the top rated of the three at St. Rita with him, Merez, and Noyes. And James, we should talk about it, just got an offer from Duke.
Oh, he did.
I know that Lon has noticed, has taken notice of that offer.
I'm calling Warner out here in a minute.
Within the last month, he's gotten Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, and Duke all to offer. So this has become, and not too surprising when you talk about a guy that's top 30 nationally, that's been invited to the USA basketball training camps. Now, he didn't make the final cut of playing on the U-17 national team, but he was one of 18 finalists, and he's just had a fantastic spring and summer, continues to trend in a very good direction.
Is he just that dominant?
Yeah, he is. I think that at first I wondered at 6'10", that's not short by a center's standpoint by any means, but that was one thing where he's a guy that was really polished as an interior scorer at 6'10", and wondered what more can he do
right
outside of the paint. Can he add a jump shot? Can he get – how good is he athletically? How good is he defensively? Within the last year, he's taken strides to where he's a pretty good athlete. Defensively, I think that he plays extremely hard, and with his length and with the way he moves at 6'10", he's got a lot of potential there. Boiler up.
Nice.
Purdue not involved.
Not yet.
Boiler up is in the building.
He's not at least 7 foot, so Matt Painter's staying away
from
any of that. We're all the Big Ten. I mean, is it even dumb to ask you that all of, like, the major coaches are there?
Most of them. You see Izzo. You see Juwan Howard. You see Greg Gard. Kevin Willard at Maryland now.
Yeah.
Most of the Chris Holtman, your guy.
Yeah?
One I didn't see was Matt Painter. Matt Painter was out scouting elsewhere.
Can I ask you something random?
Go ahead.
What is Fred Hoiberg doing?
Is he there?
I feel like I've never seen a picture of him at an AAU thing ever. You would think that
he's hammered on the wine that Brad Underwood sent him. He can't even leave. He's like, I can't go.
I just felt like his name alone would carry him to get some.
And I agree.
Maybe McGowan's was that. But I just feel like I thought he would have more either transfer or recruiting momentum at some point. But it seems like he's just going nowhere.
Nowhere.
It's a good question. I didn't see him all weekend, and I haven't noticed him. Now, admittedly, he's not one of those standout coaches. Now, he's got some name recognition, but when you're looking at what schools are watching which guys, maybe he's doing the right thing by not going to the top of the pecking order. Because we had a conversation prior to me leaving the Peach Jam off the air that – you'll see some schools at these games like, really?
Why are you here?
Elon, what are you doing here? Like, who do you expect to get in this game?
The last guy off the bench.
Yeah, maybe. But then are you just watching him in warm-ups? Like, oh, that's a good stroke. He's not going to play today. But, you know, we're gonna be tracking him and say, hey, we were at your game this week. What do you think?
Those are the guys that have to be good recruiters.
Right.
I mean, they got to look. They really got to dig deep.
So maybe Fred's going a little bit more off the beaten path.
That's a good point.
And at Iowa State, I mean, he was all about transfers, right?
He was.
And that was back before you could do that, you know, swimmingly or easily. And now, you know, now maybe he's just saying, why don't I become Frank Snyder of football and just sit back and not worry about these high school kids and just see what I need every year on the portal. Hell, there's 1,000 kids out there. He surely can find 3. I mean, I don't know. I'd have a hard time, especially when I hear – I don't hear coaches talk about recruiting necessarily, but I know it's not fun. It's not their – it's they'd rather be doing other things, right, than recruiting. And I've heard you talk about it and how – I mean, let's be honest. At 50-whatever years old Brad Underwood is, the last thing – because he and I are about the same age, the last thing I'd want to do is spend my entire day for 4 days in a row in a gym watching my kid's age play basketball. Now, I like it because it's my kid. So I have a seemingly vested interest. I know he has a vested interest, but it's the last thing. I mean, I think if I were a coach, I think I would take advantage immediately of the portal and make that my go-to thing every year. Isn't it just as much a crapshoot in the portal as it is high school recruiting? Or is it? Could you argue that it's less of a crapshoot because if there's some sophomore leaving SIU to go somewhere, don't you have a better idea of what he's is as a college basketball player than you do some kid coming out of high school?
It's less of a crapshoot, yes. Now, I think that the one thing you'd argue is that you do want to have some guys develop in your program, and you want to be able to have those that will – now, there's going to be impact freshmen. There's going to be the top level, right, the top 25 to 50 guys, and Illinois getting Ty Rogers in that top 50 range, Sky Clark, Jaden Epps just below that. Like, there's a lot of value in adding those kind of
guys,
no doubt. Especially if you're going to have maybe Ty Rogers for 3 or 4 years, Jaden Epps, same thing. If Sky Clark gets healthy, maybe it's only two. But, yeah, I think there's also proven guys at the college level, and there's value to having older guys.
I should have qualified that by saying if I'm where Fred Hoiberg is at Nebraska. Now, if you're Brad Underwood and you've proven that you can do it, or if you're at a Blue Blood or you're at one of these top 25 perennial schools, then, yeah, you're probably out there because you've got a legitimate shot at these kids that are really good, that are going to come in and make an impact on your program. Whereas if I'm at Nebraska, although they did get, like Trevor pointed out, Bryce McGowan's, who then left after 1 year for the NBA and was drafted, I would just feel like if I were in kind of one of those middle schools, I think I would put all my thought and resources to the portal or maybe kids around me in that area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there was somebody from Belleville to bring up EJ or Springfield or somewhere around me that would make an impact at my school, then I'm definitely going after them. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm sure. Look, I've never coached at that level, so I'm out over my skis here, as normal. But I just feel like that's where I think I would put the majority of my thought is. You're telling me now that you're going to list 1,000 guys that have played college basketball, and I get to recruit those kids now instead of the others. I'm recruiting 1,000 that have played.
Especially when you're trying to get better in a hurry.
Right. Well, and that's
and
the
then
other thing.
Even if you're just getting one-year rentals, it's just stack up on them the very next year if they're gone. Now, there's value in having some continuity and building something over a couple-year period.
There's no doubt.
If you can balance, I think the ideal balance is, and this is what even the top schools are doing, and they're limiting how many guys they want to take in high school because they want to take, instead of a 4 or 5-man class, maybe they take 2 to 3 and then have room to get 2 big impact transfers.
That's the perfect thing, right?
That's the perfect balance of having proven older talent from the portal versus some young guys who are freshmen who are going to develop over some time. Now you got to keep those guys happy.
Illinois is the perfect example this year.
Absolutely.
Like you said, with Meyer and Shannon and then the freshman coming in.
All right. If Nebraska could find their next Glenn Watson.
Yeah.
Kind of that underranked.
Great point.
And, you know, getting neglected by a certain home state school, as that happened back in the day at Illinois.
Hmm.
And then couple that with what Fred Hoiberg made very successful at Iowa State, which is transfers. That would be ideal for them.
I thought of what I was going to ask you earlier, and Matt kind of brought it up on the U of I Atlanta text line. He said, Derek, with NIL, I'd never say a small school can't bring in whomever. You know, the purpose there is, I guess, somebody, you know, could bring up enough money to do that. When it comes to guys like Hansberry, nowadays, is it simply who's offering him the most money? Or is there still good old-fashioned recruiting, you know, put your nose down and to the grindstone and get this kid, you know, to sign with your team? I mean, is it literally just, okay, that's great. You've worked hard. I appreciated you being at my games. I love what you're doing. I like that you're a top 10 team. I like that I could fit into your program, but this team's offering me $200,000 more, and I'm taking it.
I don't think it's like that for everybody, and I think that some people might be surprised how limited it is in terms of who's getting the real
That's the thing,
the
right
real
there.
Money.
Yep.
Like the the life-changing yes. or whatever you want to call it type of money. And there are still players who, one, come from backgrounds where they don't need the money.
Right.
They Good don't call. Need the money Good or call. They're or that's not what they value. They want to go to a certain school, academics. For Hansberry, if you list what's really important for Hansberry, as far as we know right now, because we can only, you know, hasn't made a decision yet, and if somebody came in with the, not that Illinois wouldn't be very competitive in sure. some type of NIL competition, but play style fit, development, academics are the biggest ones for him. He wants to go to a high academic institution, and there are still players out there that
That's awesome.
Value that a lot. So I think there would be some players who are highly ranked. You'd be surprised. It'd be mm-hmm. like, that team didn't have to offer him anything.
Got it.
And then there's someone that is a high three-star, maybe not even the top 100, and you'd be like, yeah, they had to do an NIL deal for this just to get him.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, really, that guy?
It's interesting that you're sitting here thinking, okay, who are my seniors? Who are my juniors? Who's going to be leaving? Who am I bringing in? And then almost on the other side, you're saying, okay, we've spent – $1.25 million on NIL this year. Who's leaving? How much of that then? Okay, this guy's leaving. We get $500,000. It's not like you get it back. I mean, somebody's right. got to still give it every year. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's big, big money. It's amazing.
Yeah, and speaking of big, I mean, because of the money that Lon makes.
Yes.
Illinois didn't even have to talk about it with Luke Goody. Yep. It was just like.
Yep. You weren't supposed to say that on the air.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Sorry. That's all right. It's out. I mean. I'm sure there'll be a story on it soon. All right, that was Peach Jam. I don't know what little college football next hour. Would that work? Leading into Big Ten Media Days, maybe do a little bit of that. Talk some baseball. I don't really want to talk about baseball this weekend.
Yuck. I fortunately didn't get to or have to watch the Cardinals.
Yeah, where I went, you couldn't get the games, and I was fine with knowing that they only won one of those. Music's done. I better get out. It's a drive.